We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is an ABC News special, COVID-19, What You Need to Know. Here is ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky.
The curve may be flattening, but it took devastating the U.S. economy to do it. More than 6 million people filed new claims for unemployment benefits last week as the country shut down to save itself from coronavirus. That means in the last 3 weeks, more than 15 million Americans have been laid off. Rebecca Jarvis is ABC's chief business and economics correspondent. 15 million, Rebecca, is probably an undercount.
Right. Well, we are looking at more than 15 million Americans who have been laid off in just 3 weeks. And we know that that is underestimating the number of real layoffs. And the reason is people have been trying to apply for unemployment insurance, but the state systems, which are meant to deal with this, don't have the capacity for it. We've heard about the websites crashing. They don't have the personnel to answer people's phone calls. I've heard from people who managed to get through websites at 1 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and that was their only way after hundreds of tries. So we know that these numbers underrepresent the number of people who have lost their jobs in recent weeks because of the lockdowns. And what we're seeing is there's been a bit of a shift where it started with the hospitality and leisure industries, people who worked at restaurants, and bars, the airlines. Naturally, those industries were having to let some people go because of the fact that everything was on lockdown. But now we're seeing the effects on retail. We're seeing the effects on doctor's offices, areas that you might not immediately think would have an impact from the lockdowns. They've been holding out as long as they can, but this is hitting all aspects of the U.S. economy at this point.
For those businesses, and you mentioned retail, that were teetering even before this, is there any reason for JCPenney to open up again?
Well, this is the really difficult question, because there's segments of the economy, and retail is a big one, that we're already feeling pressure coming into this crisis. And so for the retailers, like the JCPenney's of the world, who have had to furlough employees and decided to make those decisions, when you look at most estimates, they're not going to bring back all of their employees, even if they do reopen, and many of them will. They're not bringing back all of those employees. And frankly, for a lot of businesses that have learned over the last handful of weeks how to do business more with less, it's something that we've seen coming out of the 2008 recession. It's something that we saw coming out of the recession in the early 2000s. When a company figures out how to do more with less, they continue to do more with less. And add to that, Aaron, the fact that a lot of these companies, when business reopens, they will see a return of consumers to some degree, but how many people are going to immediately go out and start spending money when there's been this great shock to the economy and there's so much uncertainty around the employment picture? How many people are going to really feel that level of confidence to say, you know what, I'm going to go out and spend my dollars again?
There's not a lot of good news here, Rebecca.
One thing I will say, what you also are seeing, though, in the business community is remarkable resilience. And you're seeing businesses doing things they've never done before. They're getting into areas they've never been in before. The skincare companies that are now creating hand sanitizer because the demand is there for hand sanitizer, but not necessarily for perfume right now. The clothing companies that are getting into the mask business. it is an incredible and remarkable thing to see what these companies are doing, what American citizens are going out and doing for their fellow, their neighbors and their communities. So as much as we're seeing the worst of what's possible, we're also seeing the best of what's possible. And that does give me hope that people will continue to do everything they can to support each other, and especially to support their neighborhood small businesses.
Okay, Rebecca, let's hope. ABC's Rebecca Jarvis. With unemployment skyrocketing, unprecedented numbers of Americans do need help feeding their families. Coming up, more about a new ABC News partnership with Feeding America. First, though, our understanding of coronavirus is changing. We knew it started in China, but there's now new research that shows most, if not all, cases in New York, the nation's hardest hit state, originated in Europe. The research was conducted at the Icahn School of Medicine, part of the Mount Sinai Health System, and we have the scientists with us, Viviana Simon and Harm van Baekel. You trace infectious diseases all the time. What did you find with COVID-19?
The genomes that we see here from the cases in New York are very similar to genomes that have been sequenced from cases in Europe. And what that tells us is that the virus has arrived to New York through Europe, essentially.
So does this mean there's a separate strain of the virus that infected New York and a separate strain that infected, say, California?
No, the strains are all really similar. We can just look at small changes in the genome to pinpoint what is the closest relative. It's like a family tree, and you can see who's related to whom by looking at those small changes in the virus. So there are different branches in the tree of the coronavirus family, and we can, by comparing how closely related they are, we can basically deduce from where they have been before. The strains in New York City intermingle very closely with viruses seen in Europe. So the interpretation of those findings is that there has been an exchange of travelers either coming from Europe or New Yorkers going to Europe, and that brought back the virus.
When did your research show that this first started showing up in New York?
So the first sequence that we actually analyzed was obtained from a person with COVID-19 end of February. But when testing became widely available, there was a large increase of COVID-positive patients that were diagnosed. And we used those sequences to look at the relatedness of the viruses. And it appears that there is a significant amount of untracked transmissions in the community. And the most likely explanation for the number of untracked transmissions in the community is that the virus has been circulating in New York City for a couple of weeks undetected. So our analysis suggests that the virus has been in the city as early as late January.
So far earlier than March 1st, which is when I think there was the first positive case.
Exactly.
So it really was seeded here before anyone was really thinking about the kinds of strict measures that are now in place.
That's what our data suggests, yeah.
I'm interested in how much more you expect to learn about the origin of this virus.
So we this is early data, and we still lack sequencing information from different parts of the United States, from different parts of the world. More sequencing out of Europe will allow us to pinpoint more carefully the spread of the virus here in the United States.
We are also continuing to sequence here in New York. We've already generated many additional genome sequences, and that should also help us to get a more clear picture of the spread here in the city and sort of the extent of introductions into the city as well.
And is any of that contradicting the initial finding?
No, we continue to see the same pattern that the majority of cases here are linked to a European origin.
Let me pull in ABC News contributor John Cohen, formerly of the Department of Homeland Security, because, John, the European origin of the New York outbreak seems to underscore why the China travel ban really wasn't effective.
Well, this study confirms concerns that have been raised by Homeland Security and border security experts over the last several months, that the initial travel restrictions, focusing exclusively on individuals who were coming to the United States from China, were insufficient. We knew by the time that these restrictions were put into place that people who had visited China, who potentially were exposed and carriers of the virus, had left China and had traveled to Europe, other parts of Asia, and other countries across the globe. So simply restricting travel for a subset of those people coming from China to the United States was insufficient to stop the virus from entering the United States.
What should have happened?
What we should have done in late January, once concerns were elevated about this virus potentially coming to the United States, is we should have begun screening all inbound travelers coming to the United States from any last point of departure airport.
ABC News contributor John Cohen, along with Harmbon Bakel and Viviana Simon from the Mount Sinai Health System. And coming up, our partnership with Feeding America. I'm Aaron Katursky, and you're listening to an ABC News special.
Your mom said, comb your hair. Your dad told you, smarten up. Your dog is judging you right now. And your best friend just called you crazy. We all need someone who'll pull no punches and give it to us straight. Now imagine getting your news like that. No bull, no spin, just give it to me straight. Straightforward news, straight to the heart of the story. ABC News, straightforward.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
This is what being live is all about. This is ABC News Live, the 24/7 streaming news source, ABC News. Breaking news, live events as they happen, streaming live, nonstop, straight to you. Original, on the edge, breakthrough storytelling from ABC News, National Geographic, ESPN, all designed differently for you to stream straight to any screen whenever you want, free. And imagine the most celebrated, epic live events and moments all playing out right before your eyes.
See those flames behind me?
And go deeper inside the groundbreaking exclusives from the campaign trail only ABC News gets. Watch ABC News Live right now and anytime. Streaming on Roku, Hulu, Facebook, and ABCNews.com.
ABC News Live.
Streaming everywhere, right to you.
ABC News Live.
I'm ABC News Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Jennifer Ashton with tips to help you stay safe during the COVID-19 pandemic. If you're having mild cold or flu symptoms that would not have driven you to seek medical care 6 months ago, stay at home and call your health care provider or local health department for next steps. Remember, hospital emergency rooms are already busy caring for patients. If you have mild symptoms and go to the ER, you could be putting more vulnerable people at risk. For more, go to cdc.gov.
Hey, I'm Dan Harris from ABC News, and I have a podcast, and you should listen to it. It's called 10% Happier. It's all about how to stay sane in our increasingly insane world. We talk to everybody from the Dalai Lama.
Science, very important for humanity.
To RuPaul.
You have to explore this life.
It's fun. It's interesting. It may even change your life. You can listen to it for free on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. If you have traveled to a country with a widespread outbreak of COVID-19, CDC recommends you stay home and check your health for 14 days after returning to the United States. Take your temperature with a thermometer 2 times a day. Watch for symptoms like fever, cough, and trouble breathing. And if you feel sick or have symptoms, Call ahead before you go to a doctor's office or emergency room. Tell the doctor about your recent travel and your symptoms, and avoid contact with others. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
You're listening to an ABC News special, COVID-19, What You Need to Know. Here is ABC News correspondent Amy Robach.
With me now is ABC Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Jen Ashton. And Dr. Jen, let's talk about pregnancy. Maternity wards across this country are now obviously taking extra precautions. But what do we know about the risk factors right now for pregnant women?
So what we know is that pregnancy definitely represents a situation where the immune system is compromised. And we know from other viral respiratory illnesses that pregnant women can be at increased risk. There is very limited data thus far on the effects of COVID-19 on pregnant women. So that's something that we're following really closely.
What are we still learning about that impact?
Well, out of the very, very small case reports that have been published thus far, Amy, it doesn't look like being infected with COVID-19 increases the risk for a pregnant woman to get sick. We also don't know, but don't think this happens, that the virus can be spread via blood or breast milk. But again, so much that we still need to really study. You know, a lot of the focus, understandably, has been on women in their third trimester and who are about to deliver. That's understandable. But we have to look at the beginning of pregnancy. And so we don't yet know if women who are exposed to COVID-19 or this new coronavirus are at increased risk for miscarriage or preterm labor. So we really need to take it trimester by trimester. There's some suspicion that they might be, but again, we really need to study this in much, much greater numbers.
All right, Dr. Jen, we know you will be sticking around. Well, since the onset of the outbreak, New Mexico has been one of the states that took advanced measures to flatten the curve and slow the spread. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has been at the forefront of that battle, and she's here to talk more about the impact COVID-19 has had on her state. Welcome, Governor. We appreciate your time. And we know just this past Monday, you extended the emergency stay-at-home order to April 30th. It had been at April 10th. Do you believe that will be enough time?
It's really hard to say. I know that it's too soon to change what we're doing in terms of our instructions to stay home. And we also limited further what we identified as exceptions to businesses that needed to be closed in order to make sure that folks are staying home. I think the whole country is looking at when can we safely begin to think about moving into going back to work and engaging with our families again. And it's too soon to tell, but April 30th is where we are today, and we're prepared to make additional tough decisions if we need to.
I know that you spoke with President Trump about being very concerned for the Navajo Nation during the coronavirus pandemic. Access to food is one of your greatest concerns. How are you addressing this?
Well, it's both food and water and just sort of essential services and supplies. In New Mexico, we've got 23 different sovereign nations, Native American tribes. At the Navajo Nation area, in their chapters, which is their local bodies of government, you can have individuals that are 40 miles from any kind of a grocery store, gas station. And so we are using the National Guard to set up food delivery stations. We're working on any number of sort of triage centers so that we're limiting needing to come in to get supplies, but we're also not allowing anyone to be in a situation where they don't have what they need to meet a stay-at-home instruction. And it's really tough. This is an underserved population in every state. It's true in New Mexico. All of our sovereign nations, the federal trust responsibilities never been met. They don't have adequate health care and other supports. And so this is just an at-risk population. And we're beginning to see real risks to all of our sovereign nations. So we're doing extra community containment measures and extra supports. And we're working very closely with Indian Health Service to increase testing for every single one of our pueblos and tribes.
Yeah, and speaking of all of those big needs you have in your state, do you believe the federal government has been responding with enough so far?
Enough, I can There's not a governor, I think, in the country that's going to say it's enough. I will tell you that the federal government has been much more responsive about trying to figure out what we're going to do to adequately serve and protect tribal communities in this state and other states. We're looking at a regional potential operation for Utah and Arizona. The Navajo Nation is in all three of those states. They have increased our opportunity by declaring a national, a federal emergency for the state so that we can call up more of the guard. They're making sure that we don't have an interruption in our food supply. They're giving us field hospitals. I think we're getting the right attention. Is any state in a position to have security for food and PPE and related supplies? No, we are not there yet. And I am aggressively working on additional testing, even though we're one of the states that's done fairly well because we got into the game of testing early. But until you can do complete surveillance and testing in your state, you are not prepared to serve your state adequately. And this continues to be a source of significant frustration for me.
Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, we know you are fighting fiercely for the people who you preside over. So thank you so much for joining us, and we wish you the very best.
Thank you very much. I'm going to stand by you.
With unemployment skyrocketing amid the pandemic, an unprecedented number of Americans need help feeding their families. And while organizations like Feeding America are stepping up to help the cause, they cannot do it without support. So here to share how Bimbo Bakeries USA is rising to the occasion is their Vice President of Corporate Affairs, Dana Connors. Dana, thanks so much for joining us. And I know your company oversees so many food brands we all know and love, Sara Lee Breads, Thomas's Breakfast, and so many others. And because you produce food, your employees have been considered essential workers during this time. So tell me how you all have been handling this pandemic.
Sure. Hi, Amy. It's been a crazy time, for as it is for everybody, but we have been operating at Bimbo Bakeries USA with one mission through this entire pandemic, which is to feed America while keeping our associates safe. And it's been incredible to see. We have 20,000 associates, many of whom are out every day in the bakeries, baking your favorite breads and your sweet baked goods, and then delivering them to the stores. So it's been really inspiring and humbling to see these people out every day, just making sure that we're able to get food on the table for everyone in this difficult time.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And I know you've had a longstanding partnership with Feeding America. Tell us about that relationship.
Sure. You know, with the work that we do, our products are necessities. They're staples for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And our goal has always been for all Americans to enjoy them, regardless of economics. So, you know, it was only natural for us to partner with Feeding America based on how they are able to help communities all across the country. We have communities, operations in all 50 states, and they have agencies in all of the communities where we operate. So over the years, we've been able to donate on average 20 million pounds of food. That's the equivalent of 20 million loaves of bread each year to Feeding America food banks.
Wow, big numbers. And as a part of our Day of Hope, we understand you actually have a big announcement to make. So take it away.
Yes. Yeah, so we heard firsthand from Feeding America the need that they were facing, both to feed those in need and to the challenges that they had with supply. So we are doing two big things for them. The first is per product donation. So we are going to make sure that during this time, all of our bread, bagels, English muffins, sweet baked goods, bun donations go directly to Feeding America food banks. And we expect this to significantly increase our annual donation by millions of pounds. And we also know that there is an immediate need for financial support during this time. So Bimbo Bakeries USA is proud to donate $500,000 to the Feeding America COVID-19 Relief Fund. This will help with putting together emergency boxes of non-perishable goods immediately. We've also asked our associates, our vendor partners, our suppliers, our families to donate directly to Feeding America too. And in just, you know, a few short days, we've been able to raise thousands, and we believe we're well on our way to donating at least, if not more than $1 million for Feeding America during this time.
Wow. Dana Connors, that wasn't just a big announcement. That was an enormous announcement, and so much gratitude for all that you've done and continue to do with Bimbo Bakeries USA. So thank you so much. Coming up next right here on What You Need to Know, Dr. Jen Ashton joins us with the answers to your medical questions, plus one man's mission to feed America, leading the charge to help restaurant workers out of a job. Top Chef's Tom Colicchio is here.
This ABC News special, COVID-19, What You Need to Know, continues after this.
Your mom said, comb your hair. Your dad told you, smarten up. Your dog is judging you right now. And your best friend just called you crazy. We all need someone who'll pull no punches and give it to us straight. Now imagine getting your news like that. No bull, no spin, just give it to me straight. Straightforward news, straight to the heart of the story. ABC News, straightforward.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
This is what being live is all about. This is ABC News Live, the 24/7 streaming news source from ABC News. Breaking news, live events as they happen, streaming live, nonstop, straight to you. Original, on the edge, breakthrough storytelling from ABC News, National Geographic, ESPN, all designed differently for you to stream straight to any screen whenever you want, free. And imagine the most celebrated, epic live events and moments all playing out right before your eyes.
See those flames behind me?
And go deeper inside the groundbreaking exclusives from the campaign trail only ABC News gets. Watch ABC News Live right now and anytime. Streaming on Roku, Hulu, Facebook, and ABCNews.com.
ABC News Live.
Streaming everywhere, right to you.
ABC News Live.
I'm ABC News Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Jennifer Ashton with tips to help you stay safe during the COVID-19 pandemic. If you're having mild cold or flu symptoms that would not have driven you to seek medical care 6 months ago, stay at home and call your health care provider or local health department for next steps. Remember, hospital emergency rooms are already busy caring for patients. If you have mild symptoms and go to the ER, you could be putting more vulnerable people at risk. For more, go to cdc.gov.
Hey, I'm Dan Harris from ABC News, and I have a podcast, and you should listen to it. It's called 10% Happier. It's all about how to stay sane in our increasingly insane world. We talk to everybody from the Dalai Lama.
Science, very important for humanity.
To RuPaul.
You have to explore this life.
It's fun. It's interesting. It may even change your life. You can listen to it for free on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. If you have traveled to a country with a widespread outbreak of COVID-19, CDC recommends you stay home and check your health for 14 days after returning to the United States. Take your temperature with a thermometer 2 times a day. Watch for symptoms like fever, cough, and trouble breathing. And if you feel sick or have symptoms, call ahead before you go to a doctor's office or emergency room. Tell the doctor about your recent travel and your symptoms, and avoid contact with others. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
You're listening to an ABC News special, COVID-19, What You Need to Know. Once again, here is ABC News correspondent Amy Robach.
And And we turn now to Dr. Jen Ashton. She has the latest batch on your questions from the coronavirus crisis. So, Dr. Jen, thanks for being with us again. And we're going to go to our first question, which is this. A resident at a hospital tested positive for COVID-19 while waiting for the result. They went back on a patient floor. All the patients that were in contact with this resident were tested and came back negative. Is it possible for these patients to become infected at a later date?
It is, Amy. And the tricky thing here is that just because someone has been exposed to a confirmed positive case is not an indication for testing right now, because we don't know the value of routine testing in people who are asymptomatic or don't have any signs or symptoms of infection. We need to get that information desperately, and down the road, when we have broad, widespread testing of the general population, somehow, some way, we'll be able to find out the value of that. But right now, just because you've been exposed, it's not an indication for testing.
All right. And then we now know that the CDC is recommending that you wear masks if you go out. So this question, very pertinent. Do we need to be even more careful to not touch our faces when we are wearing masks, since we might be applying virus particles directly onto the mask?
Absolutely. And so you and I have talked about this before. Part of the reason why masks, especially the medical version, is not recommended for the general public is because people are not used to having something on their face. When I do surgery in OBGYN, I'm trained once I have a mask on, once I have gloves on, I don't touch anything that's not sterile, meaning the patient and the surgical field. But the lay public is not used to that. So what we don't want is, even with a bandana, for people to be touching their face more and introducing more viral particles to what really is the danger zone, eyes, nose, and mouth.
Right, and there is a tendency to adjust because we're not used to it, or it's, you know, it causes an itch or something.
Yeah.
So it's something to really be aware of.
Yep.
All right, next question. Do we know if asymptomatic carriers share any of the same traits, characteristics? For example, do they tend to be from a certain age group?
We don't know that, and I know that's frustrating for people to hear, but remember, the virus is less than 4 months old, so we need to study people who we know are positive or infected, and we also need to study people who have no symptoms but are infected, and then we need to compare those two groups. And in medicine and science, we make the first step of the scientific process with basic observation, and we're not even there yet. We do know, however, that 25% of people who are known to be positive with COVID-19 show no symptoms whatsoever.
Right. Dr. Jen Ashton, thank you so much. We appreciate it. One thing we tend to take for granted is the service industry. Restaurants are obviously suffering, and a huge topic right now is food insecurity. Joining us now to talk more about this is Chef Tom Colicchio, founding member of the Independent Restaurant Coalition and judge on Top Chef. Tom, thank you so much for being with us. And I know, as a food advocate, you have worked for years to help end hunger in the United States. You're a big supporter for asking the government to step up. Tell us about your efforts.
Well, the efforts for the Independent Restaurant Coalition, we started about 3 or 4 weeks ago, when we realized the enormity of the problem that we were facing. And we knew that there was a stimulus package that was going to help small businesses. And we realized that we needed a place at the table. And so we organized. We found groups in Chicago that was working on the same issue. We found groups all throughout the South, and we brought all these coalitions together. And very quickly, we hired a lobbying team, a comms team, and we are having direct conversations with members of Congress to let them know the issues that we have in the restaurant industry, and also right now to let them know that the fixes for CARE, for the CARE Act, they don't really work for the restaurant industry right now.
Last month, you had to shut your restaurants down. You had to fire 300 employees. Restaurants across the country are suffering just the same as you. Do you have any inspirational words to owners and to workers out there during these times?
I had a layoff. I didn't fire. I actually laid off over 400 people. And, we encourage them to get unemployment, especially in New York right now. Unemployment pays slightly over $1,000 a week. If you're not going out, not spending money on various, things that you don't need right now, that'll get you by. So that's what we're telling people. That's what's encouraging. In terms of restaurants, we're encouraging people to reach out and try to get this PPP. Even if it doesn't work for you right now, it may change. So definitely sign up. There's also a bunch of other things out there as well. that you can apply for. No, this is going to be tough. This is not going to be easy. I still suspect that at least 50% of the restaurants will not get open.
Wow.
And then the problem with that is you're going to have a lot of vacancies on ground floor spaces. You're going to have, our restaurants have become such a part of our culture. Even the small local restaurants that we have. And if they're not there when we come out of this, where are we going to go and celebrate? Where are we going to go to blow off steam? Where are we going to go to get together, with each other? And so I'm really, really concerned. And then, the other thing I'm hearing is, when do you think you'll open up? And I don't think that's the question. I think the question is, when does the public feel confident and feel secure enough to start gathering again in with groups of people? So it doesn't really matter when we can open up. It's tough right now. A lot of restaurants are trying to fill a gap by doing takeout or delivery, and that's really not moving the needle. But I still think that in terms of feeding people, restaurants can play a huge role in making sure that seniors are getting food and children who are who are living in households that are food insecure, adults living in homes that are food insecure. Restaurants, if they had proper funding through the government, and there's a bill in Velasquez's office, he's a heads up small business for the House, where restaurants, if they work with nonprofits, can get about $500,000 of money flowing through the restaurant, so we can actually turn our restaurants into community centers, very, very similar to what Jose Andres is doing with World Central Kitchen. And so there's a role that we can all play, it's just getting a lot of cooperation, and we need smart government right now. For years we've heard about shrinking government and big government's bad, but what we need right now is we need smart government that is really responsive. They should listen to small business owners. They should listen to the people who are on the front lines of feeding people, and people who are taking care of people, because they're the ones who know how to get this done. And so, the hope out there is maybe there's a silver lining where we come out of this and we have a very different society.
We certainly hope so. Tom Colicchio, thank you for all that you're doing. And we certainly are sending our love and our support to you, other restaurant owners and workers out there. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
And there is much more ahead right here on our Day of Hope. The surprise message from one woman who knows how to put up a fight. Plus, one company making sure your meal gets to your door, now expanding their reach to so many Americans in need. And a Harry Connick's helping hand. We're back in a moment.
This ABC News special, COVID-19, What You Need to Know, continues after this.
Your mom said, comb your hair. Your dad told you, smarten up. Your dog is judging you right now. And your best friend just called you crazy. We all need someone who'll pull no punches and give it to us straight. Now imagine getting your news like that. No bull, no spin, just give it to me straight. Straightforward news, straight to the heart of the story. ABC News, straightforward.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
This is what being live is all about. This is ABC News Live, the 24/7 streaming news source, ABC News. Breaking news, live events as they happen, streaming live, nonstop, straight to you. Original, on the edge, breakthrough storytelling from ABC News, National Geographic, ESPN, all designed differently for you to stream straight to any screen whenever you want, free. And imagine the most celebrated, epic live events and moments all playing out right before your eyes.
See those flames behind me?
And go deeper inside the groundbreaking exclusives from the campaign trail only ABC News gets. Watch ABC News Live right now and anytime. Streaming on Roku, Hulu, Facebook, and ABCNews.com.
ABC ABC News Live.
Streaming everywhere, right to you.
ABC News Live.
I'm ABC News Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Jennifer Ashton with tips to help you stay safe during the COVID-19 pandemic. If you're having mild cold or flu symptoms that would not have driven you to seek medical care 6 months ago, stay at home and call your health care provider or local health department for next steps. Remember, hospital emergency rooms are already busy caring for patients. If you have mild symptoms and go to the ER, you could be putting more vulnerable people at risk. For more, go to cdc.gov.
Hey, I'm Dan Harris from ABC News, and I have a podcast, and you should listen to it. It's called 10% Happier. It's all about how to stay sane in our increasingly insane world. We talk to everybody from the Dalai Lama.
Science, very important for humanity.
To RuPaul.
You have to explore this life.
It's fun. It's interesting. It may even change your life. You can listen to it for free on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. If you have traveled to a country with a widespread outbreak of COVID-19, CDC recommends you stay home and check your health for 14 days after returning to the United States. Take your temperature with a thermometer 2 times a day. Watch for symptoms like fever, cough, and trouble breathing. And if you feel sick or have symptoms, call ahead before you go to a doctor's office or emergency room. Tell the doctor about your recent travel and your symptoms, and avoid contact with others. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
You're listening to an ABC News special, COVID-19. What you need to know. Once again, here is ABC News correspondent Amy Robach.
Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor.
Welcome back to our Day of Hope show. Joining us now is Layla Ali, a longtime supporter of Feeding America. She sits on their entertainment council and mobilizes the public in support of their mission to end hunger in America. Layla, talk a little bit about why it is so important for you to be a part of Feeding America, especially right now.
Thank you so much for having me on. Well, I've been supporting Feeding America for so many years because they are our nation's largest hunger relief organization. They support about 200 food banks and 60,000 food pantries and meal programs. And now with, you know, what we're facing now, you got kids home from school, people being laid off from their jobs. So I think it's more than 17 million more people that are in danger of, you know, being hungry. Right. So Feeding America has, you know, some heavy weight on their shoulders right now. And that's why I've joined them to continually try to raise funds.
I know you are a phenomenal philanthropist. During this time of crisis, though, talk about what you've been doing personally to help others and to encourage positivity.
Well, you know, now's the time that, you know, we're all being tried, you know, and we're really about to find out what we're made of, you know, because this is the real deal. This is a real fight, right, for all of us. And for me, it's really about reaching out to, of course, my family, my friends. You know, of course, we know you got to reach out to the seniors because some of them can't just get to the store or get items that they need. So I have neighbors and friends that I've bought groceries for, friends that I've written checks for. You know, so I'm lucky to be in a situation to be able to help people in that way. And just sometimes just calling people. I mean, I think about people who live alone, you know, and are just in the house. I mean, I have my two children and my husband, which is amazing, but not everybody has that, you know, so you really have to call, check on, you know, your circle. And everyone has to just do what they can right now. And I also decided to give 100% of proceeds from my organic Layla Ali spice blends to Feeding America because I just thought that was a great opportunity for me to help people live healthier, you know, in terms of, you know, my spices, but also to raise even more funds for Feeding America.
That is awesome, Layla. And you're right. Everybody can do something. And I know your father, Muhammad Ali, was obviously a great humanitarian. You are certainly walking in his footsteps, and we are very grateful that you're doing just that. Layla Ali, thank you for your time, and thank you for all that you do.
I just want to say people can go to feedingamerica.org for more information or to donate.
That's right. Great. And our Day of Hope rolls on with a company that has partnered with the nonprofit organization, as we were just talking about, Feeding America, in a very big way. Here to tell us more about it is the CEO and co-founder of DoorDash, Tony Hsu. Thank you for joining us, Tony, and tell us about your company's relationship with Feeding America. It's an important one.
It's good to be with you, Amy. Thank you for having me. Absolutely. We started DoorDash really to empower local economies, and we've always been committed in finding creative ways to take our technology and do good in the community. So in early 2018, we launched Project Dash, which takes our on-demand logistics platform to power deliveries from those who can give, such as restaurants that may have excess food on a daily basis, to organizations that really need that food. Our inaugural partner was Feeding America, and since January of 2018, we've been able to donate together 6 million meals.
That's incredible. And of course, that DoorDash, that delivery, is more important than ever right now during these COVID-19 times. You have a special fundraising campaign you've been working on recently. Tell us about it.
You know, during these times, I think everyone can play a very small part, and together we can do very big things. So as part of our Do Your Part challenge, we launched a Instagram Live video stream in which we partnered with celebrities like Kylie Jenner or Stassi, in which they would host a live stream. And for every viewer that watched that live stream, DoorDash would donate a meal to a family in need.
That's fantastic.
And a part of the very first live stream last week, we were able to donate 2.3 million meals.
Wow. And I understand you have a big announcement that you want to make right here today. Go ahead and do it.
Today, we're very excited. On top of the 2.3 million meals that we donated, we want to announce another 500,000 meal donation, in which we're partnering with Feeding America and, take everything that we've done and extend it into the future. And so we actually will be extending our Do Your Part challenge for weeks to come. So on top of the 500,000 meals that we're announcing today, we're super excited to be doing the Do Your Part challenge for weeks to come. And hopefully together we can donate many millions of meals.
This is fantastic. Tony Hsu, thank you so much. You are helping so many people in need, and you're continuing that, I know, for the weeks and months to come. So we really appreciate it during this time and always. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you're in a position to give, you heard Leila Ali say this as well, but I'll say it again. Go to feedingamerica.org. Feed the love. Coming up right here when we come back, music to our ears. Harry Connick Jr.
This ABC News special continues after this.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. If you must travel or have already traveled to a country with a widespread outbreak of COVID-19, stay home and check your health for 14 days after returning to the United States. Visit us at cdc.gov for guidance on how to check your health and how to protect yourself and others from COVID-19.
So you just woke up. Your phone is lighting up with headlines and push notifications and a text from your mom saying, "How do I click this?" Okay, maybe that's just me. But if you want to get up to speed, check out the new podcast from ABC News. Start here.
Literally, the ground was shaking.
I'm Brad Milkey, and every morning we're going to take you to the stories that matter with fast, fresh insight.
Hello, Robert Mueller. Michael Cohen calling.
All in 20 minutes. Start here. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app.
Your mom said, "Comb your hair." Your dad told you, "Smarten up." Your dog is judging you right now. And your best friend just called you crazy. We all need someone who'll pull no punches and give it to us straight. Now imagine getting your news like that. No bull, no spin. Just give it to me straight. Straightforward news. Straight to the heart of the story. ABC News. Straightforward.
This is what being live is all about. This is ABC News Live, the 24/7 streaming news source, ABC News. Breaking news, live events as they happen, streaming live, nonstop, straight to you. Original, on the edge, breakthrough storytelling from ABC News, National Geographic, ESPN, all designed differently for you to stream straight to any screen whenever you want, free. And imagine the most celebrated, epic live events and moments.
This is live?
All playing out right before your eyes.
See those flames behind me?
And go deeper inside the groundbreaking exclusives from the campaign trail only ABC News gets. Watch ABC News Live right now and anytime. Streaming on Roku, Hulu, Facebook, and ABCNews.com.
ABC News Live.
Streaming everywhere, right to you.
ABC News Live.
Hey, I'm Dan Harris from ABC News, and I have a podcast, and you should listen to it. It's called 10% Happier. It's all about how to stay sane in our increasingly insane world. We talk to everybody from the Dalai Lama.
Science, very important for humanity.
To RuPaul.
You have to explore this life.
It's fun. It's interesting. It may even change your life. You can listen to it for free on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app.
For so many of us, it is music that soothes and comforts us in times of uncertainty. And now some of our favorite artists are providing that much-needed relief. And today we turn to multi-Grammy and Emmy Award-winning musician Harry Connick Jr. I wanted to share with our audience a clip of you at the Ellis Marsalis Center doing what you truly love.
What you guys can do to stop that sort of violence that's going on out there and those things that make you scared and depressed is exactly what you're doing right now. You're coming to make yourselves better. You're educating yourselves. You are taking the responsibility on your shoulders to lift our community.
You were there with the next generation of musicians. You just lost your good friend and mentor, Ellis Marsalis Jr., to COVID-19. Tell us what he would want those students to understand about the importance of music, especially in times like these.
As loving as he was tough on us, and he made us learn the importance of craft and ownership and discovery and all of those things. And Ellis would want all of us to continue to keep the standard very high for these young folks. And if we do that and we keep letting them know what's possible, if you believe in yourself and work hard at your craft, then I think he would be very proud.
Yeah, and we're going to turn it over to you officially, Harry Connick Jr. with Yes, We Can Can.
Now's the time for all good men to get together with one another. Out of their problems, I'm not their quarrels, and try to live as brothers. Try to find a peace within without stepping on one another. To respect the women of the world, just remember we all have mothers. Make this land a better land when the world in which we live.
Woo!
That was awesome. Harry Connick Jr., thank you for putting a big smile on all of our faces. Be well.
Thanks, Amy.
That's our program for today. I'm Amy Robach. Thanks for listening.
ABC News, honored winner of 4 Edward R. Murrow Awards. ABC News, America's number one news choice.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.